stirred up the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. "What shall I do, then, with the one you call the King of the Jews?" Pilate asked them. "Crucify him," they shouted. "Why? What crime has he committed?" Pilate asked. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him!" Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them. He had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. And so the king and judge of all the earth is unjustly condemned by his mortal counterfeit. I am reading from verse 16. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him, then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, "Hail, King of the Jews!" Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him. And so the Prince of Peace is tortured and ridiculed by pagan men of war. I'm reading from verse 22. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was 9 in the morning when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." I am reading from verse 33. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing near heard this, they said, "Listen, he's calling Elijah." Someone ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a staff, and offered it to Jesus to drink. "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down," he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus saw how he died, he said, "Surely this man was the Son of God." I am reading from verse 43. Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. I am reading from verse 46. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in linen, and placed it in a tomb cut out of rock. Then he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. And so the author of all life died and was buried in a tomb offered by a friend. It is hard not to consider the events of the crucifixion of Jesus and not see Jesus as a hapless, helpless victim. Illegally arrested and tried by the Sanhedrin, betrayed and deserted by those closest to him, dragged before Pilate, mocked by Herod, beaten, tortured, and finally condemned to a humiliating criminal's death, a death that he clearly did not deserve. Heartbroken, and at the end of his physical strength, he must now face the ultimate agony. Beyond the physical anguish of being crucified, him who had no sin would himself become sin and endure the trauma of separation from God. In these events, Jesus of Nazareth became both the ultimate victim of human rebellion and at the same time the ultimate victor over sin and death. This he does not for himself. This he does on our behalf, in accordance with the will of God the Father. In standing condemned by Pilate, he frees us from condemnation. There is no condemnation, Paul says, to those who are in Christ Jesus. For we walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And this is the price for that freedom. In enduring the ridicule of pagans, he confounds the wisdom of the wise. In enduring the shame, he is granted the ultimate honor. And in submitting himself to death according to the Father's will, he secures for himself a name above all names. For this reason, Paul tells us, he is given a name above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. I'm sure those soldiers did not realize that as they bowed in mockery. And every tongue will confess, from the mouth of a centurion, the ultimate acknowledgement that this man was truly the Son of God. Whether of our own free will or by compulsion in the last days, in the last day, I should say, all will declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, Paul says, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. It is the prophet Isaiah who sees this afar off. He declares in chapter 53, "Who has believed our message? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? He grew up before him like a tender shoot and like a root out of dry ground. He had no beauty or majesty to attract us to him. Nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by mankind. a man of suffering and familiar with pain. Like one from whom people hid their faces, he was despised, and we held him in low esteem. Surely he took up our pain and bore our suffering. Yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds, we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By oppression and judgment, he was taken away. Yet who of his generation protested? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgression of my people, he was punished. He was assigned a grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, though he had done no violence, nor was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life an offering for sin, he will see his offspring prolong his days, and he and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands. As he has suffered, he will see light, the light of life, and be satisfied. By the knowledge, his righteous servant will justify many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great. And he will divide the spoils with the strong, because he has poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors. Jesus, this Jesus of Nazareth, this itinerant preacher, was no ordinary man. And if he has been victimized, he has been victimized by us and our sin and our rebellion against God. And yet, he declares of himself, "No one takes my life from me. I lay it down. And if I lay it down, I possess the power to take it up again." And in so doing, he will be the ultimate victor. It's Friday now, but be of good cheer. Sunday is coming.